Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. The passage for our consideration this morning, the topic as announced is, If the Lord Wills. We live in an age and time where we plan, where we make many plans, and very often we feel as if these plans are in our control. But the reality is, there are a million things that could happen in this world, in our lives, that can throw our plans out of whack, out of control. Our plans can just simply collapse. There are many things we cannot control. Recently, those who plan to visit Thailand have to reroute because the entire airport could not function. In many parts of America, because of snowstorms, planes could not land, could not take off. Those who could not land in their assigned destination will have to be rerouted to somewhere else. We make plans all the time. The new year is ahead of us. I'm sure all of us have plans. Plans on where to go, what to do. For our children as they begin school on Friday. For many of us who are working, the year may be a year where we plan to go overseas, to enlarge our businesses, to do more for ourselves, to increase our wealth, especially as we see a recession on the horizon. What awaits us, even as we make our plans, as we live this life that God has given to us? If the Lord wills, is not something that we just simply utter without understanding. There are certain quarters who would like to sign off when they write, DV, God willing. And sometimes, because we use it so often, so frequently, it has lost its significance. Like the phrase, praise the Lord. Very often we just utter it without realizing the full impact of what it means. And likewise, this phrase, if the Lord wills. To some of us who use it too frequently, we have to ensure that it does not become an appendix in our conversation. We just say it without understanding. But to many of us who seldom use it, we have to remind ourselves this morning the importance of why this phrase is added by James in Holy Scriptures. That it is not something that you and I should neglect. It is something that must be at the very forefront of our consciousness. That in all our decisions, in all our plannings, in whatever we plan to do or what we are doing, it must always be understood as if the Lord wills. For three reasons, as we find in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, why this phrase, if the Lord wills, must be part and parcel of our day-to-day consideration, our day-to-day conversation, and every part of our decision-making in our lives. Verse 13 and 14a reveals to us that as people on this earth, we are fixed in time. We are locked in time. See, time is something that will continue whether you lie down and refuse to get up. Time continues on. It is precious. It is a very, very limited commodity in your life and in my life. The moment you are born into this world, it is a limited commodity. It's only when we enter into eternity, then it becomes an unlimited commodity. But until we arrive in heaven as God's children, time on this earth is very precious. Because there is only one life to live. And every second, every minute that is spent will never return to us again. And how we spend that second, that minute in the present will impact our eternity. whether we are Christians or whether we are non-Christians, the impact remains the same. Every minute we delay in accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is another minute gone. And we are 1 minute closer to the day where we will breathe our last breath. And no one knows when that last breath will be taken by anyone. And I'm sure events of the past year shouts very loudly to all of us of the impending judgment that can befall any one of us, regardless of your health, regardless of your position and standing on the earth. It matters not to this enemy called death. It comes and it grabs and it takes. No one can stop him. No one can stop the wicked grasp of death. I'm sure we all can remember this young lady lawyer who went to Mumbai. She must have many plans ahead of her. Her life was young. Her life was full of promise, full of hope. She was in the fast track. She was an up-and-coming lawyer. Lived in the best hotel, not realizing that this trip was to be her last trip on this earth. None of her family members or loved ones realized that that farewell at the airport, at home, wherever that may be, was the last farewell. Did she know it? Did the parents, the siblings, the friends, the husband know it? No one. They never realized that they will have to go to the airport to collect her body. That was my experience. My older sister was the first to become a Christian in our family. When she shared with us the gospel message, I remember at night during dinner time, I was not a believer. I told her, "You speak such nonsense in our midst, you get out of the house." And she was my older sister. A year later, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. She was the best sister. Very smart. Never go beyond second place in class in all her studies. Always get scholarships. Most brilliant, most helpful. After my dad passed away, she was the one who worked to support the family while we studied in the university. And then at the age of 28, the Lord took her home. She was in Paris on assignment sent there by the newspaper. I was so busy with my own work, I did not even go to the airport to send her off. Did not even say goodbye to her, assuming that she would return home. And then news came that she had gone home to be with the Lord, all alone in Paris. She had a bad tummy ache. They thought that it was just some gastric problem, gave her some painkillers, some antacid, and sent her home. By the time they discovered that there was a rupture in his intestine, it was too late. They tried to save her, but to no avail. About a week later, we have to go to the airport, my brothers and I. We rented a pickup truck. It was a most difficult time to go to the back part of the airport, the luggage section, to collect your sister in a coffin. A most difficult, difficult time. A day that I will never forget for the rest of my life. And you still remember. We all sat at the back, went there and collected the coffin, and we sat there silently looking at the coffin. Is our life in our hands? The time we have on our earth, on this earth, is it in our hands? Are we truly the captain of our own destiny? We can't even control 1 minute. The next minute of our lives. We are people who are locked in time, fixed in time. We can't get out of this time. The only day when we get out is when we die. By then it is too late, isn't it? How we live this life, may it not be filled with regrets. We make plans as if we can control our lives. Verse 13 is a very apt description of the world. Is it a description of your life, of my life? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. Entrepreneurship is the name of the game in the economic world. We must move out of our comfort zone, go beyond the shores of our own homeland, go to other cities and enlarge our business. This is the global economy that we are living in. And it has become part and parcel of our lives. And without second thought, we fly from one city and then to another city and then to another city without prayer, without asking God. We just do it because everyone is doing it. And that's the psyche of the world, isn't it? Go to now, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. Anyone planning to go overseas on business 2009? Some perhaps even the first week of 2009. For what purpose? The Bible here described, to gain, to buy, to sell. Oh, we were planning to stay there for 1 year. We even fixed the time, as if the time is in our hands. We don't consult God, we don't pray, we do not ask God whether it is God's will. Our boss just simply ask us, we scoot off, we go. Hardly have time to say even farewell to our family members and loved ones. We just go, we just make plans, as if we have our whole lives ahead of us. And very often we are so caught up in our buying, in our selling, in our gain, that we have thrown the best years of our lives away. We are people locked in time. Do we realize that? William Shakespeare says it this way. It is 10 o'clock. Thus may we see how the world wags. 'Tis but an hour ago since it was 9. And after an hour more, it will be 11. And so from hour to hour we ripe and ripe. And then from hour to hour we rot and rot. And thereby hangs a tale. Is that not true? So what kind of tale will be told of your life? Of my life? How will people remember this life that we have lived? What kind of legacy will we leave behind? That we travel a lot? That we are found in cities all over the world the majority of our lifetime? That the members in this congregation hardly knew of your existence? That with our bodies lying cold in our coffin, and then we receive news that so and so have gone home to be with the Lord? Would many of us ask the question, who is he? I don't know him. Should I attend? Should I not attend? Is this what we want our lives to mean to one another? Whereby our lives is no better than like a young boy who dipped his finger into a pool of water. And then we just see this boy lift his finger up and all we see will be just some ripple. And then that's it. Hardly a ripple has your life and my life impact the people around us. Let us realize that we are people locked in time. And therefore, as people locked in time, time is not our servant. Time moves on, whether you sleep or you rise up from your sleep. It goes on and on, and when it is up, it is up. It is a precious commodity that no money could buy. You can't buy time. All of us have 24 hours. It is precious. Don't waste it. Many of us have this notion that I can kill time without impacting eternity. That is a lie. Do not kill time. How you spend this lifetime impacts our eternity. To those who are still in sin without the Savior, the time you walk on this earth, whether at the end of your life, Sin remains your master, and you die in sin, the Bible tells us that we will spend eternity in hell. For us who are Christians, if you truly is born again, then the time, the physical time that you live on this earth cannot be wasted time. It must be a time where you spend living for the Lord Jesus Christ, where people will be so blessed by the time they spend with you. Because you are someone who cherishes your time. You are someone who will know how to spend your time to impact others for Christ. That when you leave this world, when you leave that person, when you leave that group, when you leave that conversation, you leave that fellowship, whatever it is, you leave behind a fragrant. Time spent with so and so is a blessed time. You draw the person, the people closer to Christ by your life. We are locked in time, fixed in time. So how do we spend our time? How do you spend your time? Get gain, buy and sell? Is that how we spend our time? Is that what living is all about? What about the impact that you have in the lives of the colleagues, the friends that you work with? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That's a rhetorical question, a statement. Very true, isn't it? You and I have no concept what will happen tomorrow. The new year may be 3 days away. What makes us so sure that you and I will last through the 3 days? Senior pastor went to Perth. Do you know where he was found? And the first day he arrived in the afternoon, he had to go to the hospital. The moment he arrived, he was told that one of the key stalwart members of the church suffered a heart attack. You sure you'll live through tomorrow? You sure you'll be around on the 31st of December to attend the watch night service? You sure that your plans for this city and for that city, how long you're going to spend in this city in the year 2009, will become a reality? So many, many millions of things that could happen that could throw this plan of ours aside, isn't it? It could be something in the family. It could be something in your life. It could be anything beyond our control. And yet we plan our lives as if we are the master of our time. We do whatever we want. We make plans without any regard for our own lives and how we live this life. 2008 is gone. This is the last and final Lord's Day of the year, 2008. What happened to this year? So quickly has flown by. So many things have happened. Some who had been with us in your life has gone home to be with the Lord. What will it take to wake us up out of our slumber to help us realize how important it is, how needful it is for us to truly number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom as Moses declared in Psalm 90. 70 years, by reason of strength, add another 10 more years, 80 years. Where are we now? If 12 hours represent a span of 80 years. Some of us will be at 10 o'clock, some 11 o'clock, some 10, 9 o'clock. That is, provided we are all guaranteed 80 years. But no one has been given that guarantee. Do you see? Please go back and check your birth cert. Did anyone stamp on it a guarantee to live 80 years or more? None whatsoever. Do not waste time. Do not think that you have all the time in the world to share the gospel of salvation with your children. Do not presume that we have all the time in the world to apologize, to say a word to our loved ones. Procrastinate. Put it off. Tomorrow I will do it.
How do you know tomorrow will come for you? We know not what shall be on the morrow. Very true, isn't it? No one knows what will happen tomorrow. We make guesses. We make plans, but that's about it. Until tomorrow comes and tomorrow becomes yesterday. Then you and I will know. Isn't it? You and I do not know what will happen tomorrow. Until tomorrow becomes yesterday and you read it in the papers. And when you recall and you look back, then you know. But other than that, we are fixed. We are locked in time. And unless and until we realize our own limitations, that we are locked in time, we must make sure that we do not make plans without considering if it is the Lord's will for my life. The second argument given by James is found in 14b. Not only are we locked in time, we are also short of time. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. A vapor like the dew that we see in the morning. It appears for the moment. And then by afternoon time, by day's end, it is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And that is a very apt description of the shortness of time that you and I have on this earth. It is therefore very, very precious. Live it well as God's children. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you are not a Christian, you and I do not have all the time in the world. Time is short. Horatius Bonar says this: "It's not for man to trifle. Life is brief, and sin is here. Our age is but the falling of a leaf, a dropping tear. We have no time to sport away the hours. All must be earnest in the world like ours. Not many lives, but only one have we. Only one. How earnest should that one life be, that narrow span, day after day spent in blessed toil." Day after day spent in blessed toil. Is it a blessed toil? In Singapore, we all toil a lot. But is it considered as blessed toil? If we are about our Father's business, then it is a blessed toil. To know that where you are, in your workplace, it is where your Heavenly Father wants you to be a blessed witness. And therefore, by your conduct, by your life of holiness, of witness, it is a blessed toil to work hard for the Lord. As students, you're going to begin a new year. See your student life as a blessed toil, where you go there not as a student, but as a Christian student, as a child of God, where you study hard, not for grade, not for scholarship, but for the glory of the Lord, where that will propel you to give your very best. It doesn't mean that it must be straight A's. It simply means you give your very best. You are diligent, you are hardworking. At the same time, you tell people about Christ by the way that you live. Blessed toil. Be about your Father's business, because there will always be plenty of other people occupied with the affairs of the world. Is it not true? As Christians, don't add to that number. The world has enough of their own people, the people of the world, who will serve the prince of this world, Satan himself. It is most foolish for us as Christians, who have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to go into the world and not be about our Father's business. And to be part of the rat race and become the business of the world, where we know for a fact that Satan is the prince of this world, and we spend our time continue to help him build his kingdom by our terrible witness. How foolish. Time is short. Time is fixed. Spend it well. How much time we have on this earth, it is fixed. It is in God's hands, not in yours, not in mine. Spend it well. Parents, when was the last time you shared with your children
the gospel, to make sure that they are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God. For the best legacy you leave behind is that they remember you as the parents who have led them to the Savior. To know that even in your absence, your Heavenly Father will care for them, will look after them, will protect them. That no matter time or space or distance can never separate them from the love of the Heavenly Father for your children, just as time and space and distance will never separate you from your love, from your Heavenly Father and His love for us. And therefore, if the Lord wills, we go from point A to point B. If the Lord wills, we spend certain time here, certain time there. If the Lord wills, we do and we do not do. So important it is to acknowledge that, Lord, is it your will for me to be found in this city? How long would you want me to remain in this city? Please help me, guide me, even as I buy and sell. Is it your holy will? Is it your will for me to gain or to lose, O Lord? Guide me, for my life is in your hands. I cannot do anything without you leading and guiding me. That's what this phrase, if the Lord wills, means. A total, complete dependence upon the Lord for Him to direct and for Him to guide us. Because our life is short. Our life, therefore, is precious. Spend it well. Every minute that you spend out is a minute that will not come back. You cannot spend that minute again. And how many minutes do we have in our bank of life? Only God knows. We do not know. How many of us will live through 2009? How many of us will be around in 2010? Have you bought your World Cup tickets for 2010? Have you? How many of you have bought your World Cup tickets? Well, you plan very far ahead. We make plans, don't we? All the time. That's the world. That's the way we have been so used to. But as Christians, we have to unlearn all these things. And we have to ask God, is it your will, O Lord? Why do we need to ask God, you may ask? Well, verse 15 tells us we need to ask Him because He is the Lord. He is omniscient. He knows what happens in your life and in my life tomorrow. He knows what happens in your life and in my life even before you are born. He knows your life and my life from the day we are born to the day we die. He knows. How many of you have seen blind people about to cross the road? How many of you have helped a blind person cross the road? Quite frequently, isn't it? We have seen blind people being led by a person with sight to help them cross the road because the road is full of traffic. How many of us have seen a blind person lead a blind person cross the road? Never, right? How many of us have ever seen a blind person lead a person with sight across the road? Even more ridiculous, impossible, isn't it? And yet, that's how we are trying to live our lives. We think we are the people with sight. And we make plans and we want to tell God, these are my plans, please bless them, this is where I want to go. God is the one with sight, not us. We are the blind person. We don't tell God, who knows the beginning from the end from the beginning, what to do with our lives. But when we do not acknowledge it, if the Lord wills, we more often than not, if I will, instead of if the Lord wills, it is as good as the blind person leading the person with sight across a very dangerous highway with many lanes. But that's exactly what we are doing with our own lives. When we do not realize that our Heavenly Father, He is omniscient. He knows all things. Not only does He know all things, the Bible tells us that He is omnipotent. Omnipotent means that he is more than just someone who can tell the future. It means that he is someone who controls the future. That's what prophecies are. A declaration by the Heavenly Father to his children that I am in control of the future, and this is what the future is like, and this is what the future will be, and I am the one who allows things to happen. I'm the one who stops things from happening, so much so that even the wrath of man will praise God. And the residue of the wrath, God will restrain. Any wrath and anger of man that will not turn to the glory of God, God will restrain. That's our Heavenly Father, do you know that? And so therefore for us, who do not want God to lead us to seek His will for our lives, we are very foolish. Very foolish indeed. Why do we want to put our life, which is so short, so precious, into our own hands as blind people groping in the dark, thinking that we are the captain of our own destiny, our own salvation? We are not. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why James says, but that ye ought to say, you should say always, if the Lord will, because He is the Lord, He is omniscient, He is omnipotent, and He is omnipresent. Everywhere is always in His presence. There is nowhere that is not in His presence all the time, and that's why He knows the beginning and the end. He knows what happens tomorrow in your life and in my life. He knows every second of your life and my life for the entire year 2009. He knows. That's why if the Lord wills is a very, very wonderful act of faith on the part of all of God's children. To commit our lives to God because we know that He knows. That's why we must pray. We must study God's Word to search His will for your life and my life. To study God so that we may have the Word of God in our hearts. That when we are faced with temptations, when we face with dangers and difficulties, we will not become victims. We will not fall prey to the evil one because he is there to catch us, to destroy us, to rob us of our testimony and our witness. That's why if the Lord wills, it is the Lord. Not you, not me, it is the Lord. And because if it is the Lord's will, then we ask the Lord, this is where I want to live. This is where I want to serve. And therefore I will do this and I will do that because it is the Lord's will. But there are those who are stubborn in the days of James, and I pray that none of us will be stubborn, where we will say, verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing, God says, is evil. Don't rejoice in our boasting as if we make our own plans. Don't rejoice in our boasting as if we go where we want. You and I do not go anywhere. God does. God knows where we will end up. And that's why it is so important to acknowledge, Lord, is it your will? Even when it is so plain, so simple. You ask the Lord. And when you realize how important it is, you will find that the blessings are tremendous. Please turn to 1 Samuel. There is an incident that is so important that can teach us a very precious lesson concerning this truth. 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his 600 fighting men had just returned. They had just escaped by the skin of their teeth because the Philistine kings wanted to attack Israel. And all this while, David, not a king yet, 1 Samuel chapter 30, had been hiding amongst the Philistine cities. The Philistines, who gave him a city called Ziklag to hide in, because he pretended to be their friend in order to stop King Saul from murdering him. From killing him. And so thank God that he was able to escape that dilemma. He did not want to fight Israel together with the Philistines. And so the Lord helped him. And so they traveled back home in chapter 30. But to their horror and to their shock, they found that their city, Ziklag, was razed to the ground. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men, about 600 of them, were come to Ziklag on the third day, a long trip, and they were exhausted, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Thank God no one was killed. All their family members were captured. All their wealth and their belongings were taken. Now let's see what happened. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. Now if you were David, the people were incensed with him because he was the leader. They blamed him. They lost everything. Everybody lost everything. And they were crying. They lost their wives, their children. The natural reaction is, what is there to pray? What is there to think? These are all fighting men. David was a fighting man. Pursue after them. Plain and simple, right? No need to consult God. Let's do it, because our loved ones have been captured. The natural reaction is, let's go. Let's go and fight against the Amalekites and bring back our family members. But thank God David did not do that. He prayed first. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So he prayed and asked the Lord, is it your will, Lord? Our will, we want our loved ones back. But is it your will? Is it your will for us to go and take our loved ones back? And if we were to go, will you give us the victory? And the Lord said, you go. Victory is yours. And they went. But along the way, some of them were tired. They could not go on. Out of the 600, 200 were exhausted. 400 went on. God gave them the victory. Now upon their return, they got all their family members back. They got back all their wealth. But when they returned, there was a problem. The 400 argued and said, these 200 did not go with us to fight. We should not give them the spoils of war. We just return to them the family members. Since they did not fight, they stayed behind, 200 of them. Why should we give them equal share of the spoils of war? If David had not prayed, if David had just simply went off and attacked, and if he got the victory, he would have no answer to these 400 men. They argue correctly. They did not fight. Why should we give them the spoils of war? But because David prayed, David knew that it was a victory, not of their own doing, but it was a victory given to them by the Lord, because it was within the Lord's will. You look at how he answered them. Verse 23. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord had given us. You see, if he had not prayed, he would not be able to say this phrase. The Lord had given us, who had preserved us. The Lord is the one who preserved us, that none of us were killed, and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. For we will hearken unto, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall be his part. So shall his part be that tarrieth by the staff, they shall part alike. So everyone must share evenly. It is the Lord who preserved, it is the Lord who fought, it is the Lord's battle, the Lord's victory. If he had not prayed, if he had not sought the Lord's will, he will face a difficulty. But the Lord knew, you see, the reaction of his 400, the Lord knew about the 200 who would be too weak to fight against the Amalekites. The Lord knew this situation. And that's true also in your life and in my life. That when you pray, you will at the end of that project or that difficulty, whatever it is, you know that it is the Lord's will. And when it is the Lord's will, that will help us solve another problem, another difficulty that you and I are not aware of. But because we have sought the Lord will see us through, the Lord will help us. How many parents whom you have prayed, who have prayed for their children's primary school education, And then you pray with your child. And then the child got into the primary school. And then during the course of the study, the child will face bullies, will face difficult teachers, will struggle. How are you going to encourage your son, your daughter? By telling them that we prayed, remember? This is the school that the Lord wants you to be in. The Lord has guided us here, so therefore the Lord has allowed these trials to come, and the Lord will see us through. If you had not prayed, and the child faced bullies, bad teachers, what are you going to do? Change school? You change school, then we have another problem. You keep on changing school. In 6 years, you're going to change 4 schools, 5 schools for your child. That will be disastrous. So important to seek the Lord's will. In business, it's the same. You and I must never, never go there to make money. Business is not making money. Business is to promote Christ in your life and in my life. And therefore, every business dealing must be along the straight and narrow path. No matter how tempting the temptations are, no matter how the world may throw their very colorful carrots in front of you, you must not take dirty money. Never. The moment you bite into this poisonous apple, you die. You die. The world out there, in the business world, is full of crooked money, isn't it? Thank God I'm not in the business world. But we all face different trials, different testings. But as long as we acknowledge, if the Lord wills, that will keep us on the straight and narrow path. James concludes in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So now that we know the importance of the Lord's will, and it must not be limited to the Lord's will, but to the entire chapter 4 of what James has been saying, and not only limited to the entire chapter 4, for the past few Sundays you've been listening, but the whole Bible as well. If we know the will of God, if we know the word of God, and we do not do it, not only it is wrong, the Bible says it is sin. It is evil. When we know the importance of what it is to obey God and to walk in a way that is pleasing to God, and we don't do it, God says it is sin. So let us, as God's children, having known the will of God, let us from henceforth always seek God. For we are fixed in time. Time is short. But we have a God who transcends time. Lean on Him. Seek His will. He will never, never fail us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to truly number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, to realize that this life that You have given to us to live is precious. For the number of hours, minutes that we have on this earth are in Your hands. We do not know how long we have on this earth, but we know that our Lord knows. And our Lord is perfect. He makes no mistakes. And therefore, Father, even as Your blood-bought children, as we live this life, may we always seek the Lord's will. Never to lean on our own understanding, our own strength, but always upon the Lord to guide us in life's journey. For it is fraught with many dangers, and He is able to see us through every one of them. We pray, Father, for some who may still be struggling with the Lord Jesus Christ and who are still in sin. May Thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, speak to such a heart and cause this person to truly realize how important it is to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that such a person will not procrastinate any longer, for we know not what is in store for us tomorrow. May Thou be merciful to speak to our hearts this morning out of Thy Holy Book. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.